Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Nikki Terry, Vice President of Homeownership for Wealth Watchers Incorporated, a HUD-certified and community organization. Wealth Watchers offers free and confidential mortgage checkups to homeowners in our community. All homeowners, regardless of income and past payment history, should contact Wealth Watchers to register and complete an application. A complete application and mortgage checkup includes 1 month of pay stubs or income, 2 months of bank statements, a utility bill, your most recent mortgage statement, and your most recent tax returns. Learn about mortgage payment assistance, mortgage modifications, and additional homestead exemptions that you may be eligible for. Contact Wealth Watchers at 904-265-4736. Once again, 904-265-4736. Wealth Watchers, building wealth for future generations.
Good afternoon to our calling audience, and welcome to Are You House Ready? Duval, USA. We have an exciting show for you today with some expert topics as well as expert guests who will be presenting and commenting on the discussions that stay prevalent on your mind and topics for the answers that you need. Today we'll be having our guest presentations from Dr. Melissa Chester and Edward Gaston. Dr. Melissa Chester comes to us with a plethora of background information and credentials. Many of you may know her as Executive Director for Educators Rock or award-winning author, best-selling author, or as your local educator at the college level as well as on the real estate scene. But Dr. Chester, a proud mother, entrepreneur, and wife of a congressional candidate for office for the 5th District, Albert Chester, is here today to join us and provide expert commentary and expert information on real estate in the COVID-19 and survival tips for those of out there who are homeowners, investors, and realtors and real estate brokers. We also have our own Ed Gaston from Wealth Watchers, founder and chief operating officer, community development officer, and instructor with SCORE. Ed has a vast amount of knowledge when it comes to starting small businesses, operating small businesses, and growing small businesses, in addition to growing our own Wealth Watchers. And we welcome them both this afternoon to our show. Welcome, everyone.
Good to be here.
Great, great. So great to have you. We're going to start off for our listening audience. We already have people waiting on the line with questions because these topics are so prevalent right now, and they're so hard and hit at home right here as we are combating this pandemic with COVID-19. And so I want to start with Dr. Chester. Dr. Chester, right now, as homeowners are out there thinking and asking themselves, is it time to sell? Where's the market going? Where do you see us headed 6 months from now? You know, we're in a seller's market right now, but 6 months from now, should we wait? Should we go now? Or what are you thinking out there and among your colleagues? What's the conversation?
Thank you so much for that question, Nikki. So as it relates to home selling, I'll tell you that right now, currently, the market is as busy as it has been. Amazingly, we haven't seen here in Florida and primarily Jacksonville, we haven't seen a lot of change in the market. So people are still purchasing homes. People are still reaching out to us about getting qualified. And first, I would ask myself, am I comfortable with people viewing the home and still riding the home? Because some people are still having face-to-face showings, but we are also doing virtual showings. It just varies. Like a couple of my listings, they wanted to take the home off the market because they have children at home, et cetera. But then other homes are, you know, hey, I'm open because I'm still ready to sell. Like closings are happening. We're just doing this safely. You know, we're wearing our PPE. Some are happening like face-to-face, and then some we're doing drive-through. And then some title companies have even gone to the virtual closing, where they can do it virtual because the person is able to do everything virtually. If you're thinking about selling, It really is about you personally, because the market is still very vibrant. It's still there's still a lot of activity. Buyers right now are getting great interest rates. Some lenders, and it just depends on who the lenders are. Some lenders have dropped their credit. Increased their credit score requirements, but many have remained the same. Interest rates are great right now. It is more a personal question than it is worrying about the market. It's just, can you navigate during this time, and are you okay with it not being the traditional way of maybe showing your home?
Those are great points, Dr. Chester. And one point that really sticks out and I think resonates with our listening audience is staying safe. How are the realtors in your organization and what you've heard around in the network? And let us also right now make note that this is Realtors Week, and we want to celebrate that along with the National Association of Real Estate Brokers and our local chapter president, Dr. Melissa Chester, as well. And what we want to find out is, how are you guys staying safe out there? I mean, and are the sellers allowing you to view inside their homes, or are they saying, well, the buyers are saying, I don't need to see it. I know the outside. I know the community. I'm moving forward. Is there something in place like that?
Great question. So many of us are having our own little, you know, we're calling it the COVID-19 kits. And so we have you know, the wipes in there. Some of us are having the booties. We're definitely wearing our protective masks, asking our customers to wear protective masks. And so we're practicing the PPE, and we're practicing those methods. So as realtors, we're making sure to safeguard. Now, again, it just depends on the seller. Some sellers are okay with face-to-face showing. Some sellers aren't. You know, when you have a vacant home, thing that you're just making sure is that you're wiping down once you leave the area. You know, you're wiping down those areas that's touched. And a lot of the buyers, to your point, especially when they're up north because they're not able to travel right now, they're fine with the 3D showings, the virtual showing. Sometimes the agent will just go in and do the showing. And believe it or not, we're writing contracts off of virtual showing. So, again, I'm a broker with a company, with the real estate company, Premier Coast Realty here, and I thought I was going to see our agents slowing down in the market, but they're not. We're all still actively working the market if we're actively working. And so I got a call today for a first-time home buyer. And so people are still checking. Again, I think the thing with these interest rates being really low, I spoke with U.S. Bank on a call yesterday when they were talking about their Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac products, and they were saying that they're not going to be dropping or requesting anything differently. They're still going to have their affordability products. So the market is still, like I said, just really, really moving. And we as realtors are practicing safety methods to make sure that we're keeping ourselves safe as well as our customers that we're dealing with.
Well, that's great. We want to make sure you all stay safe and stay healthy. And this is great for us, the homeowners and homebuyers in the market, to know that the real estate teams at the National Association of Real Estate Brokers and JRAB have a kit, their own COVID kit. They're keeping themselves safe so they can keep you, our homeowners and homebuyers, safe. And they're actively working out there for you to find homes for you, affordable products, and they're staying connected to what's happening around them and with this market during COVID-19. I believe we have a caller or a comment on the line. Just press 1, and your mic is open, and you can go ahead and make a comment or ask a question to Dr. Melissa Chester.
Dr. Chester, how, I guess in the current climate, how important is education for your home buyers now? Is it real important for them to get educated on the home buyer process?
Oh, yes. And, you know, like you said, what COVID has done is just made us be more innovative about the way we do it, but definitely should still be doing the home buyer educations. I know many agents, myself included, you're doing lives, they're doing webinars, so you definitely should still make sure that you're getting educated on the home buyer process. To your point, I am a real estate instructor, and I'm an educator by heart, and I just really believe that every person who's taking this process, taking on this process, should make sure they're educated. They shouldn't be counting on other people to have all the knowledge. And so you definitely still want to make sure that you're taking advantage of whatever home buyer education you can. I'm sure you guys are offering some webinars or some seminars online. JREB, I know, has a few. NAREB has a few. And I'm sure Wealth Watchers is having those too. And so definitely still very important.
So you've heard it from Dr. Melissa Chester, educator first, entrepreneur, broker, and president of NAREB. During this Realtors Week celebration, education is important. Get educated, stay safe, and stay healthy. Do we have any more questions for Dr. Chester or comments? Press 1 on your phone line and your mic will be open.
Dr. Chester, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
What is this? I'd like to ask the State of the Union as real estate goes. I know you say there's a lot of precautionary things that people are doing, but there is a lot of fear. How is it at your firm as far as that is concerned?
Oh, that is a great question. So let me precursor this with my husband's a pharmacist. I'm not a medical practitioner, but like you said, there is so much fear. And the reason there is so much fear is because there is so much unknown. The things that he and I always discuss is we got to look at the basics of this. COVID-19 is a virus, right? And if we understand what a virus is, we understand that viruses don't ever go away. So it's not ever going away. We understand that it is a certain type of flu virus. So we know that the flu has always been around, but this is a different strand of flu virus. And so when it comes to those things, unfortunately, we as a society, we're not as proactive as we should be with certain things, and we're not as safe as we should be. And sometimes we're just not practicing very good hygiene, like and not necessarily bathing and those things, but washing our hands, making sure not to touch our face after touching objects and items. And so when it comes to that, I think if a person is educated and they understand it, then they're not as fearful. I can honestly say our office is still open. We do limit how many people can come into the office. We do make sure that when they come in, they wash their hands and use sanitizer. You know, we're wiping down the computers and the tape and the desk constantly because, again, real estate was seen as an essential business. And so because of that, we have to provide them a space that they can come in and do work if they need to come in. And so, honestly, the office hasn't ever been super, super busy in real estate because it is something that you can do virtually. It is something that you can do at your own home. And so we haven't seen a drop in that necessarily. The agents that we saw who come to the office still come to the office. They're just making sure to take those precautionary methods to make sure they're safeguarding themselves and others who may or may not be in the office. And so that's how I'll say it. So we are still seeing activity in the office, yes.
Dr. Chester, forgive me. This is Chris Britton with Bank of America. I am a community lender office. I'm so used to talking to you, so I just jump right in and just ask you a question. like you knew who I was. So, so I'd want to comment on one of the things you said about lenders standing put with rates. I am with Bank of America. We are one of the companies that did stay put with credit scores, allowing consumers to still originate a loan, say, for example, with FHA at a 600 credit score, along with a low to moderate conventional loan at 640. So we have not increased to 700 like some lenders have, and I kind of want to kind of touch base with that because a lot of times we are first-time home buyers. It is a message, a clear message to everyone that credit is important. Even if we have not increased our number, it still is something that you should focus on. It is the time as we are able to as we say, stay home and stay safe, is to look and get more educated, like you said, read more, get into books, get into internet to understand that if we are looking to purchase a home, we do want to present ourselves with the best possible way, and that is to ensure that we are paying our bills on time as well as keeping our balance as low as best as possible. The reason some lenders are increasing their scores because the number sometimes, not always, but sometimes indicates whether you have had issues in the past, i.e. collections, i.e. chargebacks, things like that. So there's a theory out there that says if you have a 700 score, you're less likely to have had a chargeback or a collection and you're more likely to have had established credit, meaning you've had it for 2 or 3 years and you haven't had many issues. If you had one issue or two, maybe so, but you pretty much have not had many issues recently if you have a 700 score. So it's kind of a gatekeeper approach to say, we only want to lend to people who have no issues. And to the companies like mine, Bank of America, who would still lend at 600, we're basically saying people who have had issues are still important. They still are relevant, and purchasing a home is a big purchase, and it doesn't mean that because they don't have a 700 that they're going to default on their mortgage. So just understand, some lenders are looking at you or looking at a consumer that way, and some aren't. And I just wanted to comment on that.
Great comments. Great comments, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chris. Britton, that's Chris Britton, who called in a comment for Dr. Melissa Chester, broker, educator for Premier Coast Realty, and entrepreneur, and our guest expert on Ask the Expert. Are you ready? Duval, USA, are you house ready? And as we continue this conversation about COVID-19, staying healthy, keeping healthy, protecting you, our homeowners and our home buyers, as well as providing information on interest rates, where the market is going today, as we're talking about that, these are business owners, and they're engaged in business every day. And one question that has been on everyone's mind as small businesses entered into the coronavirus, they're very vulnerable. They traditionally were an engine of innovation, job creation. But recently, they've become even a smaller part of the economy as their employing and their employability is dwindling. And we're trying to find out, how do we protect their paycheck? How do we protect our small businesses, our mortgage? For that, we have some commentary from our guest expert, Edward Gaston. We're now into CARES Act 2.0. The first round, many of the businesses that we know, as we know them, did not get funded for either economic injury or paycheck protection. How are we going to be able to protect those independent contractors and those small businesses as we move into CARES Act 2.0? Will they get funded? That's the question on everyone's mind.
Okay. You can hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. So first and foremost, we have to be able to document those businesses. So we can't have them standing on the sideline. We know that the funds dried up quickly. What we need everyone to do, if you're a small business in need, we need you to begin gathering your documentation now. That's one of the mistakes that I think was made in the first round, is that people sat on the sideline and they did not gather everything. They didn't put everything together. And that's definitely what we're going to need them to do now. That would include, and I want to go down the list because it's not a push. It's not difficult. It's your driver's license, your tax ID, your tax returns. If you're a business, you definitely have your tax returns. If you have employees, which most small businesses do, keep your payroll records. If you have a payroll company, it's simple. Give them a call. Tell them to send you your payroll records for the last 12 months. If you're a 1099, many of your employees, get copies of those. Write down a schedule of your liabilities. And here's the easy stuff. Know when your business started. Okay, pull it up on wherever, whatever state that you were formed in. Put that information up, and definitely know the bank that you deal with, your bank account, and your routing number. These are the documents that you have to bring together, and I'm saying to you right now, when you get off of this phone call, scan these documents so that they are available to you. The next step that you need to take between now, well, the update is additional dollars have been approved. So we're going to have another round. That round begins Monday. That's 27 at 10:30 Eastern in the morning, 10:30 Eastern a.m., because you're going to have to sign on. That's when banks that already have applications from small businesses that did not get funded in the first round would be able to start uploading those loans in hopes that they get funded. Now, it's still unclear, but I'm moving forward with the idea that the Economic Injury Disaster Loan portal will be available too. And you're going to need the same documentation, maybe not as much, but the same documentation to upload into that portal. And we do have additional information on it. Based on the information presented most recently, you're going to get up to $1,000 per employee, up to $10,000. So if you have 8 employees in your company, you would get $8,000 through the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. And then again, moving on to the next step, that can be the PPP or a bigger Economic Injury Disaster Loan. Now, your next step after you gather all your documentation together and scan it so it's available to you instantly is that you need to identify what bank you're going to go through if you have not already done that. I hope and pray that you already have, that you've given your documentation to a lender. If you have not, please consider some of your smaller lenders. The stats are true when they say that many of the smaller community banks were able to get more people approved. It could have been because some of your larger banks had bigger or bigger small businesses. It kind of took up a little of the money. But if you have a relationship with a smaller bank that is offering the PPP loan, please get your documentation to them now. You can look up some of the banks online. They have loan portals, and you can begin submitting your documentation to them now.
Thank you, Ed, for providing that detailed instruction for those small business owners who have had challenges with that first round of trying to receive funding for the paycheck protection as well as the economic injury. And some of those businesses are directly affecting, in our community, our entire community, especially our homeowners and homeowners populations who have been delivering the services that are needed, such as our real estate brokerage and independent brokers and realtors who have attempted to receive the paycheck protection and been declined or have been told they need additional documentation. I'm going to ask Dr. Chester to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that real estate brokerage offices are experiencing, as well as our independent realtors, as they're trying to protect those commission-based payments or income that they typically received, and for those who did suffer because they did not have the background, or especially those who just started, you know, that just recently got into the industry or have not really got a foothold.
Well, thank you, Nikki, for that question. And so let me start off by saying, to Ed's point, great points he made. Because I am an educator by heart, I'm always like jumping these webinars and seminars and just trying to figure out as much as I can as it relates to, like you guys are talking about, the PPP and the EIDL, because there's so much going on with that, with the PPP and the EIDL, and getting those funds. And what Ed said, what we learned about the first round of funds is that it went to larger small businesses. And so there are no realtors that we know of, and I'm dealing from a national perspective, because we get updates through the NAR, through the National Association of Realtors. They send out emails and keeping us updated, but none of us had been approved on that first round of funds, although there were many who had submitted applications. So they actually sent us out an email yesterday from NAR, which is the National Association of Realtors, just talking about the fact that if we had already applied for those, that, you know, they're still the SBA is processing those applications and they're in their system already. It's going to be a first come, first serve basis. We don't need to reapply. But what they told us is that we had not applied for the PPP loan through an SBA lender, that the application form had to be filled out And like Ed said, we had to have our documentation, like he was saying. If you have employees, you had to have your payroll documentation. For independent contractors, you had to have a 2019 Form 1040. So to your point, you either had to have a 2019 Form 1040, a Schedule C, and a 1099 miscellaneous. For those of who got into business in 2020, unfortunately, we learned that they're not going to be eligible for those funds. They had to have tax returns from 2019. And so, like I said, we don't know of any realtors who have gotten any money, and but we do know of several hundred that applied. And so supposedly they're going to be on this next round of checks that are going to be dispersed.
So what we're seeing, based on what we're hearing from our experts, listeners, and we know we have listeners now all the way from Gainesville calling in, the black professionals, as well as Alachua County. We have on the line the Black Chamber of Commerce, Jacksonville. We have the Marion County professionals on the line with us today. We have a large group listening in, and as you can hear from our experts, what they're telling us is, hold on. It's not over yet. Is your paperwork in order? And I might see now to our experts two questions, and I pose this to Ed Gaston, as well as if we have our guest call in from Chris Britton, if he's on the line. One question is, are there any other programs available for small businesses or business other than SBA programs? And what about the small business owner who is seeking home ownership? Where does this place them at this time as far as qualifying? Chris, they were already in the pipeline. So I'll let you all comment on that, and then let Dr. Chester chime in as well.
Yes, can everyone hear me?
We can.
All right. Each lender, I'm currently with Bank of America. Each lender has different guidelines as it pertains to, you know, home ownership for small businesses, as well as, you know, the SBA loan. Everything ties into your accuracy and your, as Dr. Chester said, like, you know, keeping your paperwork and ensuring your proficiency as it pertains to that. If you're completely a self-employed, or whether you are incorporated or a sole proprietor, it is with my company based on your tax returns and your profit and loss statement quarterly. Some lenders will do bank statement lending. They'll lend business owners that have established credit. There's two sides to that. There's your personal credit and your business credit. A lot of times we want to make sure that, you know, your business credit is available as well through your EIN number. I'd say being prepared is the most important thing to do. And if you haven't been prepared, this is the time to get prepared and get everything in order. Make sure you have all information that you need. There may be another round of money that comes. Like I said, Ed said, it's starting on Monday. If you're looking to purchase a home, we're always going to ask you for your last 2 years' tax returns. Now, whether you file this year or not, as you are aware, we're given till July to file taxes for 2019. But we're going to look at your last 2 years' tax returns. One of the issues, depending on the bank, may be showing income. As we have expenses and we write off expenses, which you have the right to do, it sometimes makes it harder for you to qualify for a mortgage because you haven't shown enough income. A lot of times our accountants, our CPAs, they are doing our taxes for us, and they are giving the green light to write as you know, as the best way to prevent you from, you know, paying taxes. When you are using your taxes to qualify for a loan, it is best to show more income. So if you have the opportunity through 2019 to now about to file your taxes and you're wanting to purchase a home, it would be a time to show more income. Now, some lenders, like I say, do bank statement loans. They're out there. They may require a higher credit score, maybe 720, to do a bank statement loan. But there are lenders that will do that, and they'll look at your average bank balance and determine if they're able to give you a loan. So there's not really just one way. There's multiple ways that people can qualify for mortgages. Business, like I said, whether, you know, I always talk about it with friends and colleagues that it is one of the best things is to help other people by hiring other people. So look at your structure of your business and look into if you're able to hire people and go in that direction. But this is a good time to get all your paperwork in a row and reach out to someone like myself for any future, any further questions. I'd be more than happy to help you.
Thank you so much for giving that expert commentary, Chris Britton, the Bank of America. Chris, seasoned mortgage professional, getting information, and the common thread here, listeners, is get educated, get informed, get educated. We're going to see what our guest expert, Dr. Melissa Chester, has to say about that commentary that Chris Britton, Bank of America, just provided.
Yeah, so I was going back to your original question, Nikki, because I think the question that was on the table there was a two-part. The first one was, are there other funds available? And that was a great question because we have to be honest about the funds that are being offered by the federal government. There's not going to be enough. And so earlier this week, I was on a call with the National Chamber of Commerce, Inc., and they had experts on there, and they were saying to not forget about your state and local level government, that there are, you know, grants and different things that are available also through the state and local governments as well, because unfortunately, like we said, this is a second round of funds. We don't know if it's going to be the last one, but there are other funds available federally besides the EIDL and the PPP. And then also do not forget to look into your state and local and private levels as well. So to your point, it is about education, you know, research. It is trying to, you know, attend some of the free webinars and doing some searches on there and getting different input from different industry professionals and experts. And then moving on to the question about home ownership, like you and Chris have already said, the first thing is education. And when it comes to that education, I just want to make sure that potential homeowners understand that, you know, there are so many different paths to home ownership. And the path for A isn't necessarily the path for B. And so when it comes to that path to home ownership, it's very important that, one, you're educating yourself and that you're getting multiple points of information. You're not just getting it from one place. And the most valuable person to me that you can get that information from is, I'm going to precursor with, a knowledgeable realtor, right? Because when it comes to a knowledgeable realtor, he or she should be listening to you and listening to what your goals are, what your current situation is. And because we have different lender partners, he or she should be able to say, you know what, based on what you said, Bank of America is a fit. Or based on what you said, we need to put you in a program like Wealth Watchers First. You know, or based on what you said, we need to go with a mortgage broker, et cetera. And so that's going to be a knowledgeable realtor. One thing when I do home buyer seminars, I tell my potential home buyers, you know, I give them key questions to ask their agent. You know, and if your agent can't answer that, then you may want to find you another agent to work with, because the agent's job is to make sure that they're helping you to be as successful as you can. It's not just to send you to any lender to see if you're qualified. Different lenders have different programs and products that fit different customers. And so you want to just make sure, again, that you are educating yourself and you're dealing with people who are educated. and that, you know, you're understanding the different programs and products that are out there. You know, it may be now that, you know, your realtor suggests that, hey, we may need to do a renovation loan, trying to go right out there and get that home because you don't qualify because you don't have enough of this or that, but we can get you in a renovation loan, and then here it is, we can get a less expensive home, but get some improvements to that home and make that home yours. It's just making sure, again, that education is the key. That is, you know, you have to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. You have to, there's a quote that says, and it's an Abraham Lincoln quote, if given the task to chop down a tree and I were given 8 hours, I would spend 6 hours sharpening my axe. And sharpening my axe is synonymous to getting educated and getting informed. So stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Just keep educating yourself. So that would be my commentary to that two-point question.
Thank you. You listeners, you heard it from Dr. Melissa Chester, educator, entrepreneur, real estate broker, and president of NARAB during Realtors Week. Stay ready. Get ready. Stay ready. Get ready. We want
to
thank all of
you. So you don't have to get ready. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Okay. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. I like that. Keep that in mind. Are you house ready, Duval, USA? Our listeners, thank you for joining us today with our guest, Edward Gaston, COO of Wealth Watchers, Dr. Melissa Chester, broker, educator, real estate broker, educator, president of NARAB Local Chapter, JRAB, guest comments from our guest audience, Chris Britton, Bank of America. If you want to reach Dr. Chester and still have questions, I'm sure you do. I do. You can reach her at drchester@premiercoastrealty.com or call her at 904-479-5525. For your questions regarding small business loans, as well as small business financials, questions regarding the paychecks program, as well as the economic injury, contact Ed Gaston at wealthwatchersfl.com. or 904-265-4736. Questions regarding mortgage interest rates, he'll be happy to help you to just find out and maneuver through the maze of mortgages. Chris Britton at Bank of America, 904-238-6662, or chris.britton@bofa.com. Once again, we want to thank all of you for joining us today on Are You Ready, House Ready, Duval, USA, and to our special guest experts, Dr. Melissa Chester, Edward Gaston, and commentary from our own Chris Britton, Bank of America. Thank you for joining. See you next Saturday. Take care. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Take it easy. Be safe.